Working Cows Podcast, episode 111.
Welcome to the podcast that gives producers a platform to discuss and share paradigm-challenging practices. Practices that have increased the effectiveness of their operation and the joy that their families have received from this lifestyle.
All right, everybody, it's Clay Connery, host of the Working Cows Podcast, powered by the Global Ag Network, and we are here today talking to Mark Tegg. He is the CEO of Ag Bioinformatics, and they are the company behind a product called Ag Boost. And Ag Boost is helping people with visualization of DNA data. And we're going to talk to Mark about how they are helping people be more profitable in their businesses using these visualizations of DNA data. So, Mark, thanks for joining me today on the Working Cows Podcast.
Thanks, Clay. I appreciate it.
What is your goal with AgBoost? How are you trying to serve the market with this product?
Oh, great question, Clay. So, at AgBoost, our mission is to help farmers and ranchers take data from their herd, or big data, for example, and make sense of it. Be able to collect that data into a system that can help them make strategic or even short-term decisions, things like bull selection or replacement heifer selection. Our idea is to use technology to make some of the things that have been very tough in the past to make it a lot easier to use. So we're here to translate that gobbledygook, for example, into stuff that's easy to use for everyday farmers and ranchers.
Can you give me an example of some of the gobbledygook that you guys are translating a little bit more understandable?
You bet, Clay. So DNA testing has become a lot more common in the beef industry, right? It's been very common in the dairy industry for a long time, but we're starting to really take effect in the cattle industry, where users are looking to use DNA data to help them make decisions, whether that's breeding decisions or replacement heifer decisions or bull buying decisions. So one of the things that, if you've seen a DNA test that comes back from a lab, you get a lot of crazy stuff on an Excel spreadsheet, and you get all these different methods, and it's just very complicated, right? It's not a, you know, if you're a geneticist, it's easy to translate. Or if you're good with Excel, you can build Excel type stuff to translate it for you. So what we've done, or what my opinion is technology was really made to take stuff that's like that, to make complicated stuff easy. That's exactly what technology is for. So we take that data that you get back, whatever method you use, right? It's a single step or the GBLUP or all the different types of things that are out there and all the SNPs that come back. And we convert that into a 1 to 10 scale and we color code it, right? 10's a lot, 1's a little. Who doesn't get that?
Sure. And what are some of the traits that you guys are visualizing for people or helping people visualize?
That's a great question. So our off-the-shelf product, you can get 16 different traits back. That's anywhere from production to performance to terminal traits. Anything from, you know, maternal, for example, milk, docility, Cavanese direct, Cavanese maternal, stayability, et cetera, right? For carcass traits, you can get ribeye area, fat thickness. Performance traits, you can get average daily gain and residual feed intake, right? So it really allows you to, quote unquote, look under the hood of that animal to really understand what those genetics mean or what those genetics say about that specific animal.
And are you guys working across the spectrum of breeds? Are you working with one breed in particular? What are you guys?
Great question, Clay. We work across the spectrum, right? So our main test is we've used iGenity Beef by Neogen. That specific test was developed across 6 different breeds. So it's not specific to any one breed. So the DNA comparison is back across the 6 different breeds. So an Angus breeder, for example, can, quote unquote, test back against their competition, for example. Now, there are other tests in the marketplace. iGenity has a Brangus test and an Angus test, and we can also take those types of data and convert them into a visualization if that's what the farmer or rancher wants to use. We can use any test for that matter. We are not beholden to any one lab. We've just found that the iGenity Beef test is a very popular test, especially for commercial cattle.
So what are some ways that you've seen it being used since it's come on the market? What are some ways that producers are implementing it and some of those things?
So probably my favorite, quote unquote, success story with the product is we have one of our customers in Kansas had his bull sale last year. And one of the things that he did was he liked the visualization so much that he tested all of the bulls that were in his sale and used the visualization that we create in his catalog. And also, as the bulls were coming in the ring, he would put their DNA data, the top three traits that they scored in, as well as their visualization that showed their DNA traits fairly easily on the screen. And, you know, I can tell you that there was a lot of buzz at the sale about how easy that visualization was to use. And, you know, to me, the marker of that success, and he'll be the first to tell you, is, you know, his marker of success is he sold every bull at the sale, where, you know, in a year, this year, not many people sold every single bull that they had at the sale. So he really feels like the system helped him in the fact that it helped those commercial cattlemen that he sells to, as opposed to leafing through a bunch of pages of EPDs and all the other data you get back. He liked the idea, and their customers liked the idea. That was the most common thread we got, was how much easier it was to make a bull buying decision based on those traits that we put on the visualization.
Why do you think that is, that it's easier to make a bull buying decision with the traits that you guys give and the visualizations that you give, as opposed to an EPD and a milk score and all those different things?
Certainly. Well, and you know, the interesting thing about it is if you look at any EPD sheet or any sale catalog, you know, the EPDs are not as easily accessible or easily translatable as you would like, right? I get it, you know, zero, plus or minus, most of us get that. But how many commercial cattlemen out there, or how many cattlemen out there, you know, other than the seed stock guys, really truly understand what EPDs are and what they represent, right? And, you know, if you're in the ring, for example, and you've got a bull, if the top bull you've picked is, you know, maybe that bull went outside of your price range and you don't necessarily have a number two, three, or four bull that you're looking for, you know, having to shuffle through a bunch of pages of EPDs and boxes and looking for specific things or different indexes, for example, is not necessarily readily available. So the idea that having a color code in a 1 to 10 is much more translatable than, say, you know, a plus 2.1 on a milk score and a zero on another score. And, you know, how do you find a balanced bull, for example? You know, it's if you're looking for the perfect example I look there is, if you have a bull and you're looking to buy a bull to put on a set of heifers, you know, if you're making an all birth weight decision, you know, you can make those picks. But what are you giving up, right? Because generally cattle, if they score high in one trait, you're giving up other traits, for example. So, you know, maybe you want to use something that can help you find a more balanced bull. Well, it's a lot easier with a 1 to 10 scale than it is with a big box of EPDs, for example.
Sure. And what would, we'll link to, at the show notes page for today, we'll link to some of these visualizations, workingcows.net/111. workingcows.net/111 is going to be the show notes page for today. And you can go there and check this out for yourself. But can you give people a bit of an idea of what these visualizations look like and how they're helping people have a more informed understanding of what's going on under the hood, so to speak, in their cows?
Sure, absolutely. So one of the things that we put, as visitors to the show notes will find out when they see the visualizations, is, you know, one of the things we put up there is a slide graph, right? So each of the traits are listed, and the slide graph will have some bubbles inside the slide graph, and it's color coded, right? You know, it's red, yellow, and green. But what you'll see on the graph, for example, is if you're looking at your entire herd, if you've tested your herd, if you've tested multiple animals, and you're looking at all of them together, the little bubbles inside the slide graph will tell you where your animals score. The bigger the bubble, the more animals are in that score, and it will give you a percentage back against how much of that is. So again, you can visually look at your entire herd, or you can visually look at one or two animals very simply and look at that slide graph and see how they match up on those specific scores. Also along with that, there's a circle graph, which we provide an overall score, which takes all 16 of those traits and will provide you with an overall score based upon all the way that your cattle score at all different 16 traits. Again, you can look at the entire herd, or you can look at one animal, or you can look at multiple selections of animals. Again, it's color-coded. It's a circle graph, same thing. You can mouse over each of those graphs, and you can see how those cattle scored in each of those 16 different traits. And then finally, we also give a trait variance by gender. So if you want to look at it from the perspective of, if I want to match up bulls with a set of heifers, I can put them all on the screen and show the trait variance by gender. Blue is bull, pink is female. And it will show you in a graph where those, where the bull or the heifers either outshine each other on those type of the scores. So you can make that adjustment or make that decision, a breeding decision, so to speak, based upon a real quick glance. The other things that you can also do is you can look at trait variance by a single trait. Again, you can look at your entire herd and it will stack them up by each individual trait. It will rank them. Or you can also do that with individual animals. You can rank them the same way. So very simple, easy, super simple graphs that rank animals, you know, from best to worst, for example. And then we also can give you the different visualizations on performance, production, or maternal traits. You can make those selections very easily inside the program, just one click, and it will show you each of those traits that are associated with each of those indexes.
So what did you envision this tool being used for? And how have you been surprised by some of the uses that people have come up with?
That's a great question. So, I viewed the tool as being able to help. My first thought was, you know, as a commercial cattle producer myself, was to really help commercial cattlemen kind of get into the idea of using DNA, but also herd management software, you know, for example, recording certain data points and then using those data points to either look back at the herd to see where they might make some improvements, whether that's from an operations perspective or an accounting perspective. But what I've really been shocked by is the popularity of the DNA test. I really thought that commercial cattlemen would not much care about DNA testing. And really the opposite has proven to be true. Most of them are hungry, I would say, for easier to digest information based upon that. And what I've really been surprised with is the number of commercial cattlemen that will take the data that they enter into their system and then correlate it back to the DNA decisions that they've made. So most of them really have surprised me with the sophistication with how they've used the system to make those different correlations and make operating decisions that really, at the end of the day, help make them more profit.
Yeah, very good. And what are some of the ways that you've been seeing it used in commercial situations, specifically some of the decisions that people have had opportunity to make that they probably wouldn't have had without the product?
Oh, absolutely. So probably the best example of that is replacement heifers. You know, for example, if we have a set of heifers, you know, in the past, the way we've always done it is, you know, it's been fairly phenotypically, or it's based on our knowledge of that cow, for example. But if you have a bunch that look exactly the same or pretty close to the same and you have them in the chute, you know, phenotype is not necessarily the best way. I would suggest you're going to have some hits or misses there. But by using DNA testing as well as the data that you have from those cow families that you track back, you can actually make a much more informed decision. You can make sure that those heifers have those either maternal traits that they're looking for to move your herd forward, as well as what type of traits you're going to look for to match up that your bull buying decision with too. So that's probably the easiest, simplest way to do that. You know, if we make a mistake on a heifer decision, that's a lot of money that you have that in her development, for example, before you can even get her into production. And, you know, that first calf in production, you kind of go, uh-oh, that was a mistake, mm-hmm. right? So if we can reduce that, you know, there's no perfect system out there, right? But if we can make that decision better or more accurate more often, you're going to make more money. I mean, it's as simple as that.
How about the data capture side of this equation? How are people capturing this data? How are they transmitting it to you, you know, and getting it back in useful ways?
Excellent question. So in today's environment, you got to be mobile friendly, right? So we have a mobile application that allows producers to collect data in the field. They can, for example, record calving events or record events that need doctoring, for example, or events that you want to look at a specific animal when you get them in the chute the next time you get them up to work, for example. It also allows them to, our system is easily customizable by the individual person. So, for example, we have a library of vaccination events, for example, that you can use, right? We have most of the popular vaccines that are in there or, you know, we have names for those events. If a producer wants to name it something different, our system, you don't have to give us a call and say, hey, I'd like a different name. You can create your own name in the system super easily. It's super flexible. You can basically customize it yourself. But at the end of the day, you know, we actually have RFID integration. So we're integrated to tag readers. So for those producers that use tag readers, which are a super big help when you're shoot side, right? It's great to just wave that wand and have that information transmitted right to your phone or your tablet or your laptop that's right there next to you in the shoot. So those folks, that the mobile friendly version is probably the most popular. But there's also those guys that, you know, if you don't have access where you're at working the cows, you know, you still got to write it down on the old legal pad, and you can bring that back to your computer and enter that data fairly easily right inside our website.
And how's the accuracy? I mean, have you guys been surprised, or are you guys feeling like you're able to help people predict the results that they have before those results come down the pike?
Yes. We've actually been, so the tests themselves, each of those different traits, for example, have different correlation coefficients, right? Again, as I said, there's nothing that's 100%. Some of them are, you know, 80%+. Some of them are, you know, 95%+, but there's no such thing as 100%. But what we have really found is that as producers start correlating their data back, that's probably one of the most, most things that I hear. So one of the ways that we also use that correlation is we also work with the Noble Research Institute in Ardmore, Oklahoma. We have about three generations of their cattle on our system using this same test. So we have actually been working with those guys for quite a while now to actually make sure that we keep correlating data back as much as we possibly can.
How has this sped up gestational lag? One of the things that we struggle with is a 36-month reporting.
Right.
How's this sped up that gestational lag and the decision-making that people are able to implement?
Sure. Well, at the end of the day, you know, if you're making a decision based upon hard data, right? So I would say that, you know, when we're making those decisions, especially a strategic decision, for example, is that gestational lag. When we're making that hard decision up front based upon hard data that we get back from results that, you know, we can understand that are accurate, you know, 90% of the time, I'm going to say that we cut that risk down dramatically by the time we get there. Now, again, I want to make a caveat. There's no such thing as a perfect system. There's no such thing as plug and play cattle business. You still have to do all the things that make you what you are on your operation, right? For your environment, you've got to, you're the one that makes the decision based upon your development at your environmental level, which still has a large impact on that same thing. But at the very least, if we're starting out with the basis of better genetics and better matchups, we should get a better result more often than not.
I kind of want to switch gears here and ask you about technological adoption within the cattle industry. And I hear it all the time, you know, farmers are years ahead of us, or dairy guys are years ahead of us in the beef sector. So could you just talk a little bit about that adoption rate and what excites you and what challenges you're still facing and how you're overcoming those?
Absolutely. So I honestly believe that the adoption rate is getting better. We still have, you know, there's a lot of different things that you have to overcome, right? So, you know, at the end of the day, my challenge is to help producers understand what their return on the investment is going to be, right? So as any producer should rightfully do, as again, I'm a producer, so I'm going to ask the same question of anybody is, if I spend money, if I subscribe to your service, or if I pay for a test, what is my return on that investment? We have to be mindful of that, obviously. So helping producers understand that saving money, for example, on that gestational lag is really going to put money back on their pocket, or having the ability to make a much better genetic selection, we can leap their genetic progress along much faster. Helping them understand what that return on investment is a tough thing to do sometimes, right? Because most of us think here and now, right? Because obviously, again, we're all thinking, well, what's it going to cost per head? Right. So we have to make sure that we mind our expenses. And I'm 100% in agreement with that, because I do the same thing in my operation. What does help it, though, what's helping is that we have what's interestingly enough is we have a lot of kids that are either coming back out of college, that are coming back to mom and dad's place to kind of help them run the thing. Well, who has been more exposed to technology over the past years than kids that are coming out of college right now? And so the adoption rate when those kids are going back to mom and dad and helping me with that, conversation has leaped, because these kids instinctually understand, you know, that there's got to be an app for that, right? I mean, you know, these are kids that have been raised around technology and they just expect things like this. And I think as younger and younger people come into that, or as we see more and more and more successes with using either DNA matchups or different types of herd data, I think that adoption rate should increase a lot.
Have you seen this used in any kind of a pasture to plate scenario, or where people are communicating to end consumers, and could you talk about that?
I have. We actually have a customer here local to me that is a pasture to plate, and he actually sells directly to some fairly high end restaurants here in Oklahoma City. And he has been using the data to go back to the chefs to help them understand what type of what he has in his herd from a carcass merit perspective. You know, those high end chefs are looking for a specific eating experience, obviously. So they are very mindful of fat thickness and marbling and you know, the ribeye area, how big a ribeye they're going to cut, those type of things, right? So he has used this data specifically to go to his marketplace to help them understand what type of genetics he has in his herd and how the consistency that he can provide them on a regular basis.
Very cool. What about, you know, the bottom line, I guess? Are you willing to share some of that information as far as people, how people
absolutely
can, what it costs per head and some of those things?
You bet, absolutely. So the genetic test, if you'd like to order a DNA test, it's $39.99 per test. That $39.99 is all inclusive, meaning that all the postage is paid. We send you out the sample, whether you use TSU guns or hair or blood. We send you all of the sample collections that you need. The postage is paid to you. It's paid back to us and to the lab, as well as the results from the lab get pushed directly into your software. For us to maintain, if you want to use us as a herd management, as well as maintain that genetic data on a long-term basis, it's typically on a subscription basis, and that really that price is really determined by the number of head. So it can be anywhere we start at $300 a year on an annual basis to maintain your data on our platform.
Mm-hmm. And is there anything that I've left on the table? Any big nuggets you were hoping we would have covered today with regard to Ag Boots?
Yes. Yes. So we're actually doing some work with one of your previous guests, Rob Jennings. I'm working on some blockchain technology information. We're looking to help some different institutions out by being the front end, right? The ability, we're the data collection point that actually goes back to that blockchain technology. So we are continuing to look around for not just what we offer, but again, you know, we offer, as I mentioned, a retail off the shelf type stuff, AgBoost with the Igenity beef test, but we also do custom work. So we have some larger seed stock producers that we're in talks with to do some custom work, as well as we're delving into the blockchain world.
Cool. Yeah, there's some really cool stuff there with blockchain. So really exciting stuff. How would people go ahead and find out more? Where should I point them to find out more about AgBoost?
Absolutely. You can visit us at our website. Our website is www.ag-boost.com. That's ag-boost.com. All of our contact information is on there. My email is on there. You can also click on the links on there and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. From there also, if you'd like to keep up with kind of our day-to-day stuff too.
Cool. Well, I really appreciate your time today, Mark, and I'd love to talk to you in the future as this continues to develop and as you guys are continuing to in Denver into the marketplace with more products and things like that.
Absolutely, Clay. Thank you. I appreciate you inviting me on. Thank you a lot.
Well, I'm really excited to have Wally Olson coming back next week. We're going to talk to Wally Olson about how we handle challenging marketing times and facing these difficult times within the beef industry, and how we should be thinking about how we are going to manage for profit in times like this. So really looking forward to having Wally on. And when you are a member of the Working Cows Mob, my private Facebook group, I give you an opportunity to ask questions of guests like Wally and Mark and Brian Alexander and Dave Pratt and Dallas Mount and all these guys that I've had on. Almost every time I open up the opportunity for people to ask questions of the guests ahead of the recording of the episode. So if you haven't joined, you can do so for as little as $1 a month at patreon.com/workingcows, or check out all the ways you can support the show at workingcows.net/support. And we'll see you next week with Wally Olson on the Working Cows Podcast.
We invite you to visit workingcows.net to subscribe to the show via iTunes or Stitcher. You'll also find detailed show notes pages, resources from our guests, and the industry leaders who have influenced them. For more ideas on putting your cows to work for you in a more profitable way, tune in next week.